Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
To communicate about your fantasies and passions without fear of. It is a dating app for open-minded couples and singles to experiment with your desires that don't have to be secret anymore.
Close your eyes in 3, 2, 1.
This is What Is Love Show on Radio Free Brooklyn, and this is Sasha Sugar. I hope you guys have appreciated my super sad track. Well, it's not mine, it's Lorde's track, but it's super sad on this very sad and gloomy Sunday. And she's singing about people like to talk, but most likely not to give. And this is kind of goes with what we will be talking today about. Personal connection and human touch. Yes, the topic of today's show is love and touch, magic, the magic of healing, the magic capabilities of cuddling. And the reason why I decided to make a show about it is I've been through some rough times recently. You probably know that the last couple of shows were devoted to healing with heartbreak, using alternative practices. That's right, I'm still healing from the heartbreak. It's kind of tough. But also I've had some other realizations concerned to my relationship with my mother, with my family. And it's been painful, so I'm using different tactics and methods to heal. And my friend recently suggested to use this whole cuddling thing. And I kind of, I didn't take it seriously at first, but then I went on to Google and I found this company that actually provides professional cuddling services in New York. I got intrigued and I decided to give it a try. show today, my guest is Adam Lippin. He is the co-founder and the CEO of Cardlist. That's right. I'm not joking. It's a real company. It's a real deal. The only thing is that due to a marathon in New York, Adam got stuck in traffic in Queens, and he wasn't able to make it here physically to Brooklyn, where Radio Free Brooklyn is. But he will be calling in, and he will be interviewed over the phone. So you will still be able to learn the science behind cuddling, and potentially even book your first appointment with a professional cuddler. So I'm expecting Adam to call me in about 2 minutes, and we'll start our interview then. One more time, this is What Is Love Show on Radio Free Brooklyn, and today we'll be demystifying cuddling and learning how to use physical, personal touch to heal with whatever issues there are. I'm curious myself, honestly, I would never think I would take this thing seriously, but I'm at the point in my life that I do take these things seriously, so I'm very, very excited. And before Adam calls us, I'll play you a kind of an opening track to get us all in the mood for hugging.
I remember I wasn't much older than 4, maybe 5 at the most. The go-to-school mornings were colder, and no such thing as a bus. Our mother'd be searching for school bags and combing our hair the wrong way, as she buttered our toast, buttoned our coats. Here's what my mother would say: we all need a hug in the morning, one at the end of the day, as many as possible squeezed in between, keep life's troubles at bay. No matter wherever you ramble, your problems be great or be small, it is my belief, for instant relief, a hug is the best cure of all. I met an old exile in Boston who longed to go back home one day, but he thought no one there would be caring, for he'd been so long away. To stop a teardrop in his coffee, he gave his old whiskers a tug, and I knew that he'd give all he needed.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Sasha Sugar with What Is Love Show. Adam, is it you? Hello?
Hey, this is Adam. Can you hear me?
Yay! Yes, Adam, I can hear you. Awesome. I'm so glad you made it through the weird signals in your area. Are you still in the traffic or you made it home?
I made it home. There was actually no traffic coming back.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much for attempting to reach Radio Free Brooklyn. I really appreciate it. And I'm excited to have the show with you. I just kind of gave a very short background on why I decided to devote this show to cuddling, and I just mentioned to our audience that I've been going through a heartbreak and some other dull times, and I've been using different alternative techniques to kind of help me heal. And then my friend just suggested me to, you know, use a professional cuddler, and it kind of struck me as a crazy idea. But I googled your company online, and I called you, and I invited you to come here to What Is Love Show and demystify professional cuddling. So that's a quick background, and thank you so much for calling in. And yeah, let's take it from there. I guess just to kind of start off, if you could describe what Cuddlist is and how you came up with this idea, just to give our audience a little background on of what it is, and also what
sure.
kind of services you provide. Yeah.
Okay, great. So I'm having a little hard time hearing. So the Cuddlist, basically the problem that we're addressing is loneliness, and the problem that we're addressing is lack of connection between people. And the way that we're addressing that problem is by connecting people so they can be together. So basically, human touch is the most critical, the most important healing modality that we have, and a lot of people aren't getting enough of it. So how do you desexualize it, and how do you create a container for that healthy touch to happen? So what we've done is we have a certification program where we train and certify people to be professional cuddlists. Then there's a website that they are listed and people can find them. So that's sort of the very simple mechanics of what we do.
Okay. Well, that was a very brief description of what you guys do. But could you mention more about did you do a lot of studies? How did you come up with this idea of cuddling? Could you maybe shed some light on the science behind cuddling and the physical processes that happen in our brains or in our bodies when we have physical touch with other human beings?
Yeah, so I'm going to try to answer the question. I had a hard time hearing it, but so Cuddlist is a platform, and we're about human connection. So if you're interested in like becoming a Cuddlist, you go to Become a Cuddlist tab on the website, and we teach about and we talk about boundaries and consent and holding space for people and being fully present and using your natural gifts with another person. And if you're someone who, for whatever reason, is feeling a little lonely, or you have some issues right now in terms of what you were saying about a recent relationship ended, or there's some depth, or there's some loss, or perhaps there's someone who, you know, potentially is on the Asperger's spectrum, and human connection and sort of connecting with someone is really difficult for you, then seeing a Cuddlist is an amazing way to work through some of that stuff and get some human connection that you need.
You kind of listed a few reasons why clients should come to your
Are you there?
Classes. You've listed already a few reasons, so loneliness, heartbreak, deaths in the family. Are there any other reasons why people tend to turn towards professional cuddling? Also, if you could shed some light on the audience that uses the cuddling services, that would be great.
So again, I'm having a hard time hearing the question, but the concept is, so what happens during a session, and I just got the greatest sort of example of it in a video that I did with this woman, Clarissa, who's in the outside of San Francisco, who's a cuddlist. And she has a client who has Parkinson's disease. And when I was asking her to sort of explain, you know, how he explains the benefits of having a session with her, because he's been having them for the past few months, he says his nervous system quiet downs. His nervous system is able to sort of calm himself enough that the effects of Parkinson's don't feel as strong. And we have a woman with MS who's a client who has literally, because of MS, she shakes. And she has a session, and within the first 15 minutes, she doesn't shake, and then she reports that she doesn't shake for days after. And that's something that she has never experienced in the 14 years since she's had Parkinson's, since she's had MS.
Okay, so, and if you don't hear me well, just I'll repeat the question. I'll try to speak slower, and I've just increased the volume of my microphone, so you should hear me better now. So both people who have diagnosed diseases and just people who have some lonely feelings, they come as an audience to use the cuddling services.
Yeah, so if you're having lonely feelings, which many of us do, the definition of loneliness is we're not feeling connected to another. We're not feeling connected, right? And the best way to feel connected is to be with another person, and to be with another person in a space that is only for you. So the entire time of the session, a cuddlist session, is the needs that you have are being caretaked for. The cuddlist will be really clear about keeping the boundaries and the safe container. Within that safe container, there's a level of trust and intimacy that can develop that is a really transformative, which is sort of hard to describe if you're not in it. But, you know, it's funny. I was listening to your song as I was waiting to get on, and, you know, I think it was like an Irish song about, like, giving and getting hugs, and that's what you need to get through the day. And so there's a lot of evidence to support it, and it's really wonderful for people who need a little love, a little lift, a little joy, and it helps reframe loneliness and helps give you a sense of connectedness and being a part.
So in terms of the gender split and probably age split, how would you describe the audience? At first, when I was thinking about this question, I thought that probably women are the ones who would need to cuddle. But then I thought that, well, women are more open in day-to-day life to be emotional and to be expressive in their feelings. Whereas for men, that could be a really useful service since they are taught to be strong. They are taught not to express the affection. So is it true for the cuddler services? Like, do you see more women coming for those services or vice versa?
That's a great question. Most of the clients are men. We are starting to see more women because women, like you said, in general are caretake, and they know how to caretake, and they know how to be nurturers, and they also have a support system where women tend to share their issues in all aspects of their life with friends, where men tend to be more transactional, and they have friends that they play, you know, sports with or that they'll go for a drink with, but they don't necessarily include them in all aspects of their life. So men need a lot of work on learning how to open up and learning how to sort of what are the rules of being with a woman in the sense. And so like a lot of men, they don't have friends to share issues with. So if you're dealing with, you know, you're overweight or you're feeling really sad about something or you need some help, you know, sort of learning how to communicate, you don't necessarily have friends that you can go to talk about those particular issues. And that's why men are really drawn to seeing a cuddlist. It's not for any other reason than they're looking to have a human connection. And because they don't get it, like you said, like a lot of women get it to sort of in their daily interactions with their friends in their life, where men don't have access to that because of the sort of toxic masculine culture that we live in right now.
Right, right. Thanks for that insight. So you've mentioned a couple of issues, that emotional issues that men might face in their daily lives, but they're not able to express those or talk about those issues with their friends. So when they see a cuddler, is there something more to just physically cuddling with another person? Like, do they actually, this man, for instance, do they discuss other issues with the person that is cuddling with them? Or basically, is this service more than just physical cuddling? Is it more therapeutic? Is it written in your rules? Like, how much of the psychoanalysis or psychoconsultation the professional cuddler can provide?
Yeah. So it's a great question. We're not psychologists. The thing that a cuddlist can offer is unconditional attention. And what most need and never get is unconditional attention. So what happens in a session, you know, we don't really train sort of the best way to cuddle because sort of the physical aspects of it take care of themselves. A cuddle session can look like, you know, sitting next to someone on a couch and holding their hand and sharing. A cuddle session could be people sort of working through stuff and talking about what they're going through and having someone else fully present for them and listening to them for an hour or longer. So you can have the best friend in the world, the most loving spouse in the world, and you know what? People don't want to hear your stuff, right, for that long. And sometimes you don't need an answer. You just need to share it. And you need to feel someone's unconditional presence and unconditional support. And that's really the magic of a cuddle session, is that when two people are really connecting, then there's a level of safety that's developed where honest, intimate communication can happen, whether it's in the form of a really beautiful cuddle or whether it's in the form of an honest conversation or whatever form it takes mm-hmm. takes in, and that's sort of what it is. It's not so much about big spoon, little spoon, what positions you like. It's more about sort of the learning the skills and being with someone in a way that that's really human and really natural.
No, that totally makes sense. My question is, though, if I'm using your services, right, and I have a concrete issue I'm going through, and if my partner, my provider of the cuddling is not professional in that area of, let's say, psychology or whatever that is, and I'm just sharing my experience, but I kind of want some feedback because it is a conversation, it's not a monologue, is there any rule on how much of the verbal support the cuddlers might provide? Let's take my example. Let's say I come to you and I say, hey, let's say I feel unloved by my mother. Like, I don't feel any love from my mother, my warmth. And I try to, you know, analyze what I might have done as a child, what she might have done like 10 years ago, and just going deep in that family dynamic. Like, how much of the verbal support can my cuddlers provide?
Yeah, so your cuddlers will provide all the support that they can provide for you. And here's the difference. So if you're in a therapy session, and one of the reasons my partner and I started this company is because I spoke to therapists, mm-hmm. and they said to me that sometimes our client needs a hug, but because of the sort of laws and regulations of the industry, they're not allowed to give that hug. So sometimes through talking, like exactly what you're saying, and adding the physical element to that, it allows greater access to sort of what you're really feeling. And it allows for the cuddlist to really hear it in a way and validate it in a way that a therapist couldn't, because there's not that touch element to it. So in terms of talking through whatever you want to talk to and getting support, absolutely. I mean, that's a huge part of what we do. And it's really dependent on the need. So if you're a client and you're working through some issues and you want to bring that, that's a great place to bring it, where you can get feedback, you get full support. And in the context of one person sort of hearing completely what someone's saying and being able to offer honest feedback, sure, that's absolutely what we do.
So do we discuss this in advance? Maybe let's talk a little bit about the procedure. Let's say I'm looking for the cuddling service. So I go on your website. Do I get a random person to cuddle with, or do I get to choose based on a person's appearance, experience? If I have certain psychological issues that I want to talk about, do I also mention it in the filtering process? So that's one side of the story. And then from the cuddlers as a profession side, how do they decide who they want to work with or not? And do they get to decide, or they have to work with anybody?
Perfect question. So in terms of from the client perspective, uh-huh. No, they're great. So here's the deal. So if you're looking to find a cuddlist, you go to the website, cuddlist.com, and there's a tab that says Find Your Cuddlist. And then you can search by location. And then so if you're in New York, all of the various cuddlists, I think we have about 18 or 19 in New York now, will come up. There's a photo or a series of photos. There's a bio where the cuddlist is sort of sharing who they are and what they're about. And in terms of your question about specific issues, towards the bottom of their profile, they state sort of what some specific attributes that they have or qualifications. So someone could be someone that works with people with trauma. Some people could have someone there. They're an empath, they're a Reiki practitioner, they're a massage therapist, et cetera. So once a client finds someone, then what they would do is request a session. They hit a little tab that says request a session. They'll answer a series of questions where they're allowed to sort of explain what their issue is, what they're going through, if they choose to. At that point, they hit send. The cuddlist will get that information and then respond back. And depending on how the conversation goes, they have the right to book the session or not. So the deal is, as long as a cuddlist is not discriminating based on, you know, sexual orientation, they're not discriminating in any way, then they have the session. But if it doesn't feel right for them, or they don't feel like they're a right fit, then they don't have the obligation to have a session. And sometimes people request someone, and then the cuddlist will say, you know what, I think Shauna might be more appropriate for you. Okay. So it's up to the discretion of the client as well as the cuddlist whether the session is going to happen or not.
Okay, so then let's talk a bit about the physicality of the process. Have you had any instances within cuddlist when a cuddlist, when I say cuddlist, I mean the professional who provides the cuddling service. So when the cuddlist doesn't feel comfortable to provide a service because of some physical, either hygienic issues or just physically, you know, sometimes we don't have get a chemistry, or just we feel very not attracted at all to the person. And I know it's no sexual, I don't mean it in a sexual way, but you know, you see a person and you just feel like, okay, I don't want to touch the person at all. So how does this come into play when a cuddlist makes a decision? Or before they even start a training, they kind of sign a contract that regardless of physical attributes or a person who is seeking the service, they must accept.
Okay, I think I heard your question. Mm-hmm. And so let's assume a session is happening. There's a very simple code of conduct, which is that, you know, you wear at least shorts and a t-shirt or a tank top. Nothing sort of is touched that sort of would be covered by a bathing suit, and there's no purposeful sexual, you know, energy being put out there. So in that context, and any type of touch can happen. I think the question was also what happens if a cuddlist is feeling that the energy is not, you know, is becoming sexual, or there's something that they're not comfortable with.
It was more about if I feel, like, if I don't want to touch the person that sits next to me, for whatever reason that is. It has nothing to do with sexuality.
So if you are
his or her hair is a little bit too oily, or that their nails are a little bit too, not too clean, for instance. You know, I'm getting a little bit physical, but things happen, right? We all have preferences.
You, mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually, honestly, there's a code of conduct talks about, you know, making sure that you're, you know, freshly bathed and you're clean and you're, you know, all of that stuff. There hasn't been a situation that I'm aware of where a cuddlist has been sort of grossed out or...
that's the term I was looking for, grossed out.
Yeah, it hasn't happened. And I host cuddle parties in New York City. Like, I had two yesterday and I have them all over.
Cuddle and parties? Oh my gosh, I want to come next time. Can you send me an invite?
Yeah, I will. I host them. If you go to Meetup, New York Cuddle Party NYC, you'll see them. Uh-huh. But anyway, the people that come are anywhere from like early 20s to 70s. And every shape, size, orientation, body type, et cetera. And what happens is when we're in sort of our rational mind that we're in every day, and we look at people and we assess their physicality, right? In a cuddle session, because it's a non-sexual event and because you're connecting as true human beings, you're not really thinking about what the physical aspects of the person are not as important. So weirdly enough, or not weirdly enough, the creepiness factor doesn't really happen. And in fact, the magic happens the most if there's like an obese client or there's a client that has some kind of physical issue, et cetera, because that's where it's very easy if they're two quote-unquote beautiful people,
right?
That's easy, right? But what a cuddlist brings to it is complete, it doesn't matter. Right? It doesn't matter what someone looks like. That's the whole point. This is available for everyone. Everyone, irregardless. You know, I was on this TV show, and I was on with people from some dating app called the League and Tinder. And so, you know, and I was saying, you know, what about people that are not going to get swiped on Tinder? What about people that will never get accepted in the League? Human connection and human touch is the most essential, vital need that we have. I mean, without it, there's tons of evidence that says you die earlier. You know, there's a lot of bad things happen when you're touch starved, right? When you go to a cuddlist, they're not judging you based on your physicality. Yes, you have to be clean and brush your teeth, but it's not that. So, I mean, we've done thousands and thousands and thousands of hours. I have not heard of a creeped out cuddlist for physical reasons.
Well,
because it goes beyond that.
This is so great. Yeah, thanks for thanks for mentioning those dating apps. They suck big time. So as we're speaking about the audience, the clientele, I had one more question. So I actually texted my friend this morning and I said, hey, you want to know more about cuddling, you know, tune in. And she said, well, I only like to cuddle with my husband and we do it like 3 times a year and that's it. So, and that kind of was weird to me. Actually 2 questions. First question, could you give us a bit of the information on whether married people also come to your sessions, or like what is the split between single and married people who use the services? And a second question, which is kind of different but also comes here, do you think that people are naturally inclined to hug and cuddle and be physically touched, and then it just our upbringing and the society makes us feel weird about it? Because I mean, I'm a very cuddly person, for instance. But even my sister, who was raised in the same family, she is not a touchy person at all. So I just wonder if this is something that is natural to us, to be wanting to hug and cuddle with others, or whatever, it depends on our, I don't know, DNA, anything.
All right, so there's a lot, you asked a lot. So let me see if I can unpack
it. Just so interesting
to me. Answer the last question first.
Yeah,
right.
Okay.
We all have different touch styles and touch needs. So there's about 20% of the population there. They have a low touch need, right? Most people fall into the spectrum of they like touch, right? They enjoy the physical, emotional safety feelings of physical connection. So there are people that are touch averse, and it's in their DNA. There are also people who are sort of on the spectrum, the autism spectrum, the Asperger spectrum, that want to have more touch. They don't know how to do it. So there can be a learning component to it as well. The other thing is, like you said, cultural. So there are high-touch cultures and there are low-touch cultures. So there was an amazing study done that someone, a researcher, went to cafes all over the world, right? And they would just see how many platonic touch points two people who were friends had. And in Madrid, there were 187 touch points. In Latin America, there were a lot of touch points. In London, there were 0. In Florida, there was 1. So there's certainly cultural, you know, attributes in terms of how we view touch, right? So that's certainly a part of it as well.
But in those studies, did they reveal any connection of the level of touchiness to, for instance, the level of happiness or the level of a certain disease? Like, yeah, it's clear, especially in our southern cultures, they're more touchy and they're more warm cultures, but does it affect their lives in comparison to, or any aspect of their lives in comparison to more northern and more cold cultures when it comes to the personal touch? I don't know
if there's
been studies like that, but I'm just curious.
So the studies that I can talk about are studies that show that people who have more of a social fabric and a social connection and feel closer to people are happier people. So it shows that the more ability you have to love and be loved and be physical and connect, that is the correlation to happiness, right? In terms of your question about single versus people who are married,
yeah.
There are married people who feel, you know, there's a saying, it's like there's nothing more lonely than being next to someone in bed that you're not feeling connected to. Some of our clients are married, mostly married men, and some women actually pay for their husbands to have sessions so they can learn how to be more connected in an intimate, healthy way. So that's sort of that. So a lot of male clients, especially that are married, they actually love their wives and they want to sort of be a better partner. And by sort of having this very platonic, you know, yet yet physical session, if that's what you're looking for, you can learn skills. You can learn how to communicate better. You can learn how to ask for what you want, how to say no to what you don't want, and how to be more honest and authentic in your relationship. So that's becoming a larger part of our practice. Most men, there's a high degree of people that work sort of in tech fields because they tend to work by themselves and they're more isolated. So basically the clients that come, more than not are single. Most of them they're either going through something in their life that's sort of specific, or they're working through issues of being overweight, for example, right? So if you're an overweight man in our culture, you don't have as much currency, but you still have the same need. So you can get some needs met, and you can also potentially learn some skills to make yourself feel more confident.
Thank you so much, Adam. That was a perfect segue into the kind of crossing the boundaries of the married, or not necessarily married couple, but the couple that is in the relationship. So you mentioned that some women pay for these services to be given to their husbands or their boyfriends, their loved ones. Have you recorded any cases when those men actually develop some sort of feeling for the person that they received pardon from, and how that was addressed? And did you have any, I don't know, breakup stories from that? Not to give others a bad PR, but things happen. And
yeah,
what if it wasn't a happy marriage, right?
One of the things that our clients, so I love the question because it's a real honest question. And what happens when you bring two people together in an intimate session? How do you deal with someone sort of developing attraction towards their cuddlist? And the fact of the matter is, there's nothing wrong with the client developing an attraction. That's a human nature, right? What you do with that is really where the healing comes in. So you can say, "I'm feeling attracted to you." You can express this stuff, and then you can realize that you can sort of work through it, right? And so I've had sessions where I felt attracted to a cuddlist. And then what you do is, if you take that energy and you sort of shift it around and you let it, you sort of sit with it for a minute, and then you start to see this person as another person instead of someone who, that you're attracted to, It changes, and then that man that person who feels attracted to the other person will have an experience that's really profound, because they'll realize, hey, I can be attracted to you. I can, walk by a donut shop without eating a donut because I like that donut, right? And work through that feeling. That's really hard, powerful work. Does that make sense?
Yes and no. Yes, because I understand it, but then, if there is a feeling and it's not an immediate or spontaneous emotion, but if an actual feeling is developed, then by working through it, I don't give it a chance to evolve in something bigger. Like, what if this feeling could lead to actually something magnificent? I'm not just talking about a random crush, or a random thought about a donut, but what if there is something that could happen, like more
profound. One of the boundaries that we have in a session is the cuddlist job is to be present for the person that they're having a session with, to be as open and honest and clear and provide as good of a session as they can. What they're not responsible for is the feelings that you're talking about, because we believe that if someone has a feeling, they can then, that gives them information. So if someone is really attracted to or drawn to a cuddlist for something outside of a platonic thing, then they're going to have to stop seeing that cuddlist, or they work through those feelings. In terms of divorces happening or relationships breaking up, I don't have any evidence to support that. Most men that develop those feelings either work it through, and if they can't work it through, they'll just stop seeing the cuddlist.
What if... Okay, let's not touch married men. What if a single person comes to see cuddlist and they develop a mutual liking, a mutual affection for each other? And both are singles, no families attached. will this also be a violation of the conduct or?
Exactly.
Okay.
So we have a practitioner's agreement, and the practitioner agreement says that if feelings are had, there are two things that have to happen. If you decide, you know, we're human beings, right? So if you decide that you want to take the take this thing somewhere else, there's two rules. You have to stop seeing them as a client, number one, and you have to wait 90 days if you want to then pursue any sort of romantic relationship. So it's a clear violation if the cuddlist does not do that. So from a very practical perspective, if feelings are had and there's a desire on both parts to sort of change the relationship as a cuddlist and a client stops right there. Then there's no contact for 3 months. If after 3 months, the cuddlist and the client want to pursue whatever they want to pursue, that's completely on them. But there's a sort of a wait period.
For New York, 3 months, it's a really long period. So that's, you have to have real feeling for someone to wait 3 months and then still have those feelings. Because we have so many,
right,
especially
what
with
happens
this,
a lot of
dating
times
apps,
you,
we have so many options. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes you think a feeling is romantic, but it's not, or it can shift. And so there needs to be some time to sort of reflect, you know, before if a relationship happens. And it's very similar to if there's a, you know, there's a code that you just don't have relationships with their clients. If for some reason the relationship changes, it happens outside of a cuddle session and they're no longer a client and, you know, there's no sort of contact for 90 days and then they can do what they want after that.
Okay. That's great. Thank you so much, Adam. So we've talked a little bit about the audience, the clientele. Now let's talk a bit about the certified cuddlers. In terms of the audience, in terms of the demo age split, do you see more women becoming trained cuddlers, or there is a tendency now for men as well to be willing to give the service?
So about 70% of our cuddlers. Well, actually, we don't even classify gender. We allow our cuddlers to decide, you know, they're allowed to name their gender. So we have some cuddlers that identify as female, some that identify as male, some that use, you know, they, them, you know, pronouns. So it's up to them to decide what pronouns to use. So that's number one. The types of people that are attracted to becoming a cuddlist are people who are generally naturally empathic. There are people that really are drawn to the healing powers of touch. A lot of them are sort of currently massage therapists or yoga practitioners or Reiki healers or herbalists. A lot of them are people who are sort of in a spiritual world or a healing holistic world already. And there are people that the best cuddlists are people who they know they already come to the training with the ability to have boundaries and hold space, because if they're a massage therapist, they're already seeing people individually and they you know, literally have a naked person. Yoga teachers have a really amazing sort of, well, good ones anyway, ability to sort of really sense energy and work with energy. So if you go through our site, I mean, one of the things that's been so amazing for me is the quality of the cuddlists that we have and how they grow in our so we're a community, right? We have 100 cuddlists on the site now and a lot more in training. And we're really a family. And I know that sounds corny and everyone says it, but we have an online community. We have Tuesday night and Wednesday night calls. There are practitioner calls. And it's sort of like we're there to support each other as well as share best practices.
And you're kind of on the mission to hug the world.
Yeah, so we hug each other, so therefore we could hug the world, I guess would be the best way to say it.
So Adam, most of the cuddlers, are they now in New York, or like geographically wise, how is cuddlers doing at the moment?
So we're in, I think, 23 states. We just had our first cuddlers now in Tennessee, Memphis. We have more people in, you know, in New York, the major cities, New York, Seattle, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Denver. But we're in St. Paul, Minnesota. We're in this town called Florwood, Mississippi. We're all over the place. We're in small towns in Minnesota. So in terms of, you know, who does best, it's really less about location, because you know, human nature and human need is all over the place. We tend to have more cuddlists in, you know, New York, there are 18 in larger areas.
Just Chicago, 18 cuddlists for the entire New York? They probably have so much demand.
They do well, and we have a few more in training. Last night, actually, at the cuddle party, there were four. I'll maybe post a picture on your Facebook page. It's really sweet. These are wonderful people. These are people who, I don't know, I've never met people as caring, and they practice nonviolent communication, and they're aware, and they're present, and they bring their full self to this work.
You guys,
and
I wanted to say you guys should create your own camp to go to Burning Man the next year. I think you'll have a lot of demand there as well.
Yeah, well, I know a lot of, you know, there's definitely a correlation between people who are cuddlists and people that are burners.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, there are cuddle parties that happen through cuddlists at Burning Man as well.
Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you so much. So as I understood then, if you want to become a professional cuddlist, you can fulfill the training online. It's not...
Yeah, so in terms of the practical aspects of becoming a cuddlist, is you go to the Become a Cuddlist page. For your listeners, if you use the code ADAM, A-D-A-M, all caps, when it says, how did you find out about it, you'll get 10% off. The cost is currently $149 for the training, and you can get 10% off by using ADAM. Once you sign up, you'll be assigned... You're welcome. You'll be assigned a mentor, someone who can help you go through the process. You'll be given access to the online training, and you're also a part of these Wednesday night phone calls. And it's an interactive learning program in the sense that the work that you do online, people in the community can comment on it, as well as myself and my business partner and our mentors and people we call core cuddlists. So you're individually learning, but you're learning as part of a group as well. And so it's a really great online training. There's also tons of resources that we have in terms of videos and talks and a lot of really good stuff.
And the hard science behind cuddling, because I'm sure some of the listeners are still like, I don't really get this whole cuddling thing, but there is a lot of science behind it, guys. So go to the cuddlers.com and you will find a lot of information. So Adam, just a few more questions. The question I wanted to ask you, it's kind of a personal question, but not. I'll try to make it generic. So if I'm working through a particular issue, do I tend to kind of replicate the missing relationship model in my life with the services of cuddlers? Let's say I'm working through some issues with my mother. Does it make sense for me to find a cuddler who is a female of the age of my mom, for instance? Or if somebody is working through a heartbreak, do they tend to find a cuddlist of a similar, of the similar demographic that their partner was? Have you noticed any?
What a great question, and that goes to the core philosophy of cuddlist. Our clients are as unique and diverse as our clients. We have cuddlists from, you know, I think the youngest of the early 20s. We have cuddlists that are 69 years old. We have cuddlists that are, you know, all different shapes and body sizes. And so, you know, and some of our more successful, quote unquote, cuddlists are, you know, they're older. They're, you know, it's like, so yes, you can find someone that resonates with you. So if you're looking for someone that's more of a mother figure or someone that's more of a, you know, comes from this from more of a spiritual place, that's more empathic. You can see we have many different people with many different energies, and it's kind of incredible, actually.
Okay, but have you noticed that dynamic, or it doesn't really matter?
So, you know, sometimes we don't know what we don't know.
All right, that's
true. And sometimes the person who is most valuable for us is not the person that we think. right?
Yeah, that's
so, you know, think about your own life, and there have probably been people that have put into your life that you'd say, oh, I never would have been friends with that person, or that's not someone that I would normally hang out with. And those people can turn out to be the most important people in your life. So by opening yourself up a bit and looking beyond the binary, a world of possibility awaits. And so that is, with a session with the Cuddlist, you know, the least, you know, it can be, you can be surprised, basically.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you so much, Adam. We have about 8-9 minutes left. And of course, I've got a surprise. I always have some surprises. So Radio Free Brooklyn producers had a meeting upstairs. So I dragged one producer here, Rosie. She's with me now. She just got into the studio. And I was thinking maybe we can host with your guidance, like express 3 to 4 minute cuddling session. Maybe you can guide us to explain.
Sure.
How, okay, awesome. Well, let me just put her mic.
Okay. So, hello, Rosie.
Is this my car?
So, I guess the first thing at any every cuddling session, it's going to start with this very simple question. So, you guys are the clients for now, and I'll be the cuddler. So, I'm going to say to you, we have to make one agreement. I promise you that if I'm uncomfortable for whatever reason, I'm going to state it and let you know. Do you promise me you'll do that as well?
Yes,
right?
I will.
So then you would say yes, right? If you're a yes.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. And then what would happen is generally the cuddlist will say to the client, you know, how would you like to start? And most of the time the client will say, I don't know, what do you think? And the cuddlist will say, so part of it, this is sort of the learning process. We'll say, you know, to your session, why don't you think for a second about how you would like to start? And that way it empowers the client. So why don't you say to Rosie, is it Rosie?
Yes, it is.
Say, you know, Rosie, how would you like to start? How would you like to start? Is there any form of touch you would like, or uh-huh. or what would you like okay. right now? What would be good for you right now?
Thanks, Adam.
And so ask that question to Rosie.
Hi, Rosie. So how would you like me to start?
You can start anywhere that you feel comfortable, as long as we don't go dirty.
That's quite broad. So, okay, so Rosie gives me a lot of freedom. Do I ask her questions to narrow down the...
So, I'm sorry, what did she say? I didn't hear that part.
She said that I can touch her wherever I can start wherever I feel comfortable.
Okay, so... Something. Great. So let's assume, so where do you feel like touching Rosie? What would feel good for you?
Well, Rosie has beautiful hair, so I feel like I would want to touch her hair.
That's wonderful. So you can start doing that.
Okay. Rosie, get here. Okay. So right? I'm touching Rosie's hair very gently.
And
I hope
and so you know. So then either of you at any time could say, would you like to try something else? Or, you know, maybe you'd want to move your hand to her shoulder, right? Or whatever. She could say, hey, you know, would you touch me, you know, on my back or rub my belly or whatever it is, right?
How do you feel,
and
Rosie?
So that's sort of what happens. It becomes sort of a process of deciding at the moment what it is that you need. And so perhaps, you know, if you want to talk to Rosie, so let's say Rosie's a cuddlist, and you want to tell her about what's going on with the breakup or with your mom. So as you're having this physical experience, you can start talking about something that you want to if you choose to.
Okay, so then basically the role of cuddlers is a reverse role. It's not just me. So it's not just me cuddling, doing some work, cuddling work on Rosie, but also she can start being a cuddler to me as well, or... That's not really the case.
Oh, yeah. Rosie can start, you know, I mean, Rosie can say, Rosie can, in this context, because you've agreed to the code of conduct beforehand, Rosie can start touching your shoulder, rubbing your hand, or, see, you know, go in and cuddle you, because you've already agreed to the code of conduct and the boundaries. So it's it's an interactive process, right? And so either of you at any time can start changing positions as long as you have consent to do that. And
I think Rosie wants to say something.
Well, I was going to ask, would you like me to touch you and where? Or I can
Perfect.
Just refrain from touching.
You can do whatever you want. I mean, I'm assuming now Rosie's the client just for argument's sake at this point. So Rosie, it's your session. You can decide to, you know, ask for touch. You can decide to ask to be touched. You can decide to...
Yeah, Do you like how I touch your hair? You would like me to touch it somewhere
else? I do.
Else?
You're very, very good at touching. You're very gentle and warm.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. So I think I got an idea. Thank you. Thank you so much. So then the session goes for about an hour, right? And it usually...
It's the minimum of an hour. So the average session is between 1 hour and an hour and a half. So.
And does it usually happen in the place of a cut list or in the place of a person who requested?
Either or. So, like, if the cut list, you know, depending on if they have a place to host, and, you know, if they, and that they'll let you know that on their profile, whether they can only travel or host or travel. So it really depends on the client. And the thing is, you know, so yes, from a practical perspective, it can happen either place, or sometimes someone's traveling and so they're in a hotel room, or, you know, they're visiting their mother or whatever it is, or they have a yoga studio that they, you know, have an extra room at. So it can happen sort of anywhere.
Awesome. And I think I have time for just one more question before we finish the show. Have you had any, if you haven't noticed yet, my show is super honest and I ask super direct questions. Have you had any violations of conduct and, do they happen often? Because we are all humans, you know, let's not pretend that we all follow the rules. But how often does that happen within this space?
So, you know, we're super honest too, and without, you know, real true exchange of energy and real true vulnerability can't happen if there's not honesty. So what we've built into the system are a few things. So we have a buddy system. So if someone has a session, they can request someone call them, you know, when it's, you know, to they'll know exactly where the session starts, where it's happening. And, you know, they'll text them like when the session's over and say, are you okay? Right. And so there's sort of a buddy system that we have implemented. The other thing is we have a place, privately within our sort of a, you know, private internet, private Facebook group that we have, where if there are any clients that have presented any problems, they tell everyone who they are and they'll say, you know, stay away from this person or this is something going on with this person. So there's clear communication and then we can share best practices about it. So, yeah, sometimes people want to press a boundary. It hasn't risen to the level of, you know, a police being called or sort of anything like that. But there have been certainly clients that that have tried to press a boundary. And then if that happens, the entire community is basically warned against that person. Then what happens is I will contact that person and I will let them know they're in clear violation. They're not allowed to reach out to a cut list, and if they do, then, you know, we're going to bring it up with, you know, the criminal system.
All right, so
that's
one,
really
one
that's
warning right. rule exists.
I'm sorry?
There is a one warning rule. So once you violated the conduct, that's it. You're not welcomed. You're not, the door
so
is closed for you.
Each cut list can decide, you know, what their boundary is in terms of, you know, whether they're saying, you know, that didn't feel comfortable for me, please stop. Or, you know, you're done, buddy, because that's not appropriate. It's really up to the individual cutler. And
well,
I guess that would be the way to say it.
Well, Adam, we literally have 20 seconds. Thank you so much. It was a great conversation, even though you had to call in from your car and you were stuck in traffic. Thank you so much. And, guys, if you are interested in the cutler services in New York, I am very interested. So go to the website cutlist.com, and as Adam mentioned, you can use the promo code Adam, or all capital letters, if you want to become the cutlist. Or if you are like myself, feeling super down and lonely and depressed, and you need someone to cuddle with you really, really hard. So thank you all so much, and have a beautiful Sunday. It's not very beautiful, but maybe go and hug someone, and the sun.